When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
In Louisiana, an attempted kidnapping at Children's Hospital in Baton Rouge raises valid questions regarding security. In Florida, a man throws cash at passengers to buy their silence as police close in on him. And in California, the police department is putting Lego heads on mugshots. These stories and more are coming at you today, Wednesday, April 3rd. On Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's up?
First time we're all seen each other since Easter Sunday and the weekend.
Right.
And did you enjoy your family time?
We cooked 2-inch thick ribeyes for my dad.
Nice. Two-inch thick.
And the weather was nice, and everything was good, and I enjoyed it.
Now, I'm an idiot, and I always, the thicker the piece of meat, I always end up burning the outside and not getting the inside cooked thoroughly by the time I burn. So you just lower temp and patience? Or
burn the shit out of it. It's still pink on the inside, but crusty on the outside. It's delicious. So, and those are basically roast, right? 2 inches thick. Stupid.
Yeah.
That's that was what my dad wanted, so we had them cut.
Daddy eat it all?
I'm sure he's eating it all by now. But it was him and my mom and I. It was a good time, and we enjoyed it. So I don't know. How about y'all?
Well, it was the Trans Day of Visibility as well on Sunday. So we observed both holidays simultaneously.
Yeah, pretty sure I don't even know what that means.
I think a lot of people didn't know what that meant. But a lot of basketball, which was nice, right? I guess we'll talk about that. I think, Jim, you're going to talk about Kim Mulkey later. Watch the services for that Jonathan Diller, the officer in New York. So sad with that little the little kid. And, you know, when you see that that one of the guys had 21 priors, the other one had, you know, some kind of number in the teens.
Both of them frequent flyers for serious shit.
Well, and listen to this. I saw that New York Transit released stats for 2023. So this is just the transit system in New York. There were 13,600 arrests in New York City subways in 2023. 124 people were arrested more than 5 times. In 23. Those same 124 people have been arrested more than 7,500 times in their adult lives. That's an average of 60 times each. Like, I know a lot of these policies are crazy where people, we look at and see that people are just getting put right back out on the street. But is there a happy medium where you look at these repeat offenders at least and say, okay, there's a number at which, regardless of where the individual crimes they've committed fit on the spectrum, they've committed so many of them, they are a danger to themselves, they're a danger to the community, we got to get them We got to get them off the street. I mean, to me, those are 124 people. New Yorkers don't need riding the subway.
Yeah. The thing is, 60 times each arrested, that means they've probably done 1,000 crimes each that they didn't get arrested for. So I don't know, flipping the system, plea bargains and all that shit. I don't know. I don't get it. I can tell you horror stories of people that have got out, numerous people that have gotten out or had reduced sentences because of plea bargains and committed murder or rape.
Right. Well, you see some of these, I think Mayor Adams in New York is sincere about wanting to change something there and wanting to put people away, wanting to get migrant numbers in the city down, despite the fact that, it's a, quote, sanctuary city, but really wanting to do things to get control of crime and recognizing that it's out of control. And I think that's more and more of these cities. We're seeing it in Philly with Kensington as well.
The guy that's head of Blue Lives Matters is an NYPD officer, and he's actually coming down here for Saturday, April the 20th, for the opening of O'Hara's. It's bar that's going to be open on 3rd Street downtown, and they have an O'Hara's in New York City at the base of where the World Trade Center was. It's a cop bar, and so this is going to be the takeoff of that. Maybe even get him in if he comes in a day or two early. Maybe get him to come in and talk about New York City. And
that'd be really interesting.
Yeah, so I'll check on that.
Please do. I wanted, just before you get going, Jim, I wanted to just I sent the video out over the last 2 days with Tracy Lofton in studio from Lagniappe Infusions doing my Myers cocktail. And just want to remind people, if you did a little too much drinky, a little too much eaty, whatever, over Good Friday to Easter, great way to clean yourself up is to get a hold of Tracy and get one of those Myers cocktails or some other cocktail in your system. You can get her at Lagniappe Infusions Facebook page or TLM Lofton. That's LOFTON. TLMLOFTON at yahoo.com. And remember, $10 from every treatment goes to our friends at LOPA.
And you can use code RRC for a discount on top of the $10 donation.
Yes. And actually, since you're speaking with Tracy, you're communicating with Tracy directly, she's just doing that for you.
Just let her know you're a lifer. Yeah.
Yep, for sure.
All right. Well, let's get down to some true crime time for Wednesday.
All right, and we're going to start in Baton Rouge. And look, when this story broke, you want to talk about bizarre and absurd. Absurd. A woman is behind bars after she tried to kidnap a baby from Our Lady of the Lake Children's Hospital. The woman told her boyfriend another family's baby belonged to her. Dynasty Selman, 21, was arrested and booked as a fugitive by the Bossier City Police Department. This was on Tuesday, March 26. She was extradited back to Baton Rouge, where she was booked into the East Baton Rouge Parish Prison and is facing charges of attempted kidnapping and 7 counts of unauthorized entry of a business. Police say Selman cased the hospital for weeks and fraudulently obtained a parent/caregiver badge. The badge allowed her to access certain floors and rooms of the hospital when she did not have a child. Selman was seen on the hospital security footage wearing a parent caregiver badge in the surgery wing of that hospital, which does have restricted access. The surgery wing is actually restricted to parents and caregivers with children undergoing surgery or guests of children undergoing surgery. Selman rang the doorbell of the PICU unit after visiting hours and told the staff she was there to visit. The staff did not recognize her as one of the patient's parents and explained that visiting hours were over. A short time later, the same staff member granted access to an actual parent of a patient in that wing, and Selman followed in behind that person. The staff member recognized Selman and saw her slowly walking past each patient's room, looking inside. The staff member told Selman visiting hours were over and escorted her out of that restricted area. The next night, Selman again rang the doorbell of that unit, and the same staff member granted her access to the wing and immediately recognized her from the previous night. The staff member asked her who she was there with and who was she there to visit, and Selman said she was visiting her nephew but could not provide a room number or the name of the patient. And was observed pretending to make a phone call, then later walking off and leaving the wing. Now, while Selman was walking the floors of the hospital, she was able to find a room with a baby where the parents weren't present. It was later learned that the baby was in intensive care and the parents didn't live in Baton Rouge. Selman and her boyfriend went into the room of the 9-month-old patient she did not know, and Selman told her boyfriend that the patient was her child, making him believe he was the biological father.
What?
How could he fall for that?
Unless she was pregnant during that time. I mean, by the way, our kid's 9 months old, and I had a pregnancy.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you. Yeah, I was scared to tell you or whatever. Selman learned the child's medical history by reading the charts. She then told her boyfriend that she had the baby while traveling out of town, and the child needs treatment in Baton Rouge. She even took the young man to the hospital to visit with several doctors in hopes to schedule a false or fictitious medical appointment for the child. The boyfriend became suspicious of the baby when he came to the hospital and saw the name on the door didn't match the name Selman gave him. The boyfriend then told a family friend who is a nurse. So the nurse basically hears this story and she says, something's not right here. So she calls the police and she says, I don't know what's going on, but my friend just called me and kind of told them the story. That's when police said the hospital learned that there was a security breach. Police said Selman and her boyfriend went back to the hospital with his family, where they were confronted by security. Selman was asked for her ID and asked to leave the hospital after they retrieved her access card. More than 2 weeks later, she was arrested in Shreveport. Authorities did confirm that the child was not taken out of the room.
That's
one of the most bizarre stories I've seen in a while on an attempted kidnapping.
It's crazy.
And I don't know how how did she sell this story? Because the police, I saw the press conference, and the police totally believed that this guy knew nothing about it. Apparently he didn't. But I'm like, man, if there was a jail term for stupid, you might get sentenced to a year in prison.
Well, yes, for him. For her, just crazy.
It's got to be some
crazy.
I mean, there's no profit in it. I mean, you take a kid out of the ICU, 9 months old, and there's got to be something wrong.
There's definitely something wrong upstairs, for sure. Exactly. Thank God that they were able to expose it. You know, somebody had a clear head and said, something's not right. Yeah. Maybe I need to call the police. Because had that not happened, I mean, the next visit, she could have snatched that child.
Right. Kids in ICU.
Kids in ICU and her parent and the parents of the child, I don't know if it's a he or she, but the parents of the child are apparently out of town. They don't even live in Louisiana.
Right.
So they're kind of in and out of there. They'll go on these weak stints.
Well, thank God she didn't get them. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
And I would think from a security standpoint, probably wouldn't be that hard once you got access to the child to run out of that hospital.
You don't get in Lady Lake without having they take your ID and take a picture of you.
Especially the NICU section.
That's just to get into the regular part, like the emergency room. And you got to get the security and everything else. And it's crazy.
That's the one you see right on the 10, right? You could drive right by it on the 10.
Yep.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay.
Bizarre.
Well, you know how husbands and wives just naturally divide tasks and, you know, the wife is doing these things, the husband is doing those things. Well, I was always assigned the take the kids to the movies when they were young. That's the dad job. That's not a mom job. Mom's got a whole bunch of other jobs. Right. Dad is the take the kids to the movie. Did you guys do a lot of that with the kids when they were little?
I took kids to the movies. But it wasn't necessarily like a separation thing. Back then, I used to like to go to the movies back then.
Right. We kind of all went.
But. Oh, so you guys did it as a family. Miss Jerry just kicked me out so she could lay by the pool while I was at the movie theaters. But, you know, every so often you do end up going to a kid's movie that you like as much as the kids like.
Yeah.
And for me, that was the first Lego movie and then the Batman Lego movie, which was even better than the first Lego movie. I don't know if you guys have ever seen those.
I played with Legos when I was a kid, though.
Actually, great movies. Great
kids. I stopped
on
a lot of them.
Yeah.
I don't feel good.
Right.
Well, so, you know, having boys, you know, Legos were kind of a big deal around the house, and Legoland was only 90 minutes away down in Carlsbad. Right. So we would go to Legoland, which was for a parent a hell of a lot better than dealing with the prices and the bullshit of Disney or Universal even or Six Flags. So the town of Murrieta in Southern California started a process that made me think of all the Lego movies and the trips to Legoland, where they're putting Lego heads on bad guys. Mm. And now the Lego Corporation has requested that the Murrieta Police Department refrain from posting on social media its suspect booking photos containing yellow Lego minifigure heads over the criminals' faces. So they got a cease and desist from Lego. Murrieta Police Lieutenant Jeremy Durant says the toy production company contacted the police department last week after they posted on social media a fictional lineup of five men sporting different logo heads. The law enforcement post titled "Why the Covered Faces" was a reminder to the public about a new California law that came into effect this year that prohibits law enforcement from sharing suspect photos for nonviolent crimes unless specified circumstances exist. So they are not, police departments, if they arrest people for nonviolent crimes, are not allowed to show pictures.
It's crazy.
Freaking people.
Because the Johns, shame of the Johns. Yep. Try to get prostitutes.
Yeah. Yep.
So such as Cali. So another winning Cali decision. Only the really, really bad guys get their pictures posted, lest we tarnish the reputation of the junior varsity criminals, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
The Marriott.
Well, and believe it or not, same law in Louisiana.
Really? Is it really?
Yeah. They changed it to where if it's a nonviolent crime, you don't show the lineup photo. The argument there is if someone's innocent, you're ruining their life.
I still see them showing photos, but they say innocent. That the one thing
innocent
I've seen,
until proven guilty.
I've seen them do that.
No, they had changed.
It's crazy.
Maybe they should use the Lego crawfish head for
maybe
for
so. The, do they have that?
I don't know if they do.
If they don't, they'd be a good idea.
The Murrieta Police Department prides itself in its transparency with the community, but also honors everyone's rights and protections as afforded by law, even suspects. In order to share what is happening in Murrieta, we chose to cover the faces of suspects to protect their identity while still aligning with the new law. Assembly Bill 994 also requires law enforcement agencies to delete mugshots from social media after 14 days. That's interesting. Durant says Lego officials, this lieutenant I think was a little bit off. He said that Lego officials, quote, were flattered we were using their images, but asked us to respectfully refrain from using their intellectual property or we would be contacted by their lawyers. So I don't really think they were flattered that you were using their intellectual property.
They didn't see the humor.
If they were truly flattered by your use of their images, they wouldn't have sent you the cease and desist letter, Lieutenant Thurant. It was a good conversation. They didn't go demand that we take everything down. It was basically, hey, you guys had a good run, but you can go ahead and stop from now on. So Thurant says the lineup post of suspects was simply an example. The department wanted to highlight the work of our officers, the work they're doing in the community, not necessarily identify these people we're contacting down in the field. We're not trying to highlight them or put them on blast. I want people to see the good work our officers are doing. Great. We were obscuring faces, either showing back shots of suspects or putting emojis over their faces. And at some point, they just simply settled on Legos as the way to do this because it seemed to be a fun way to get people's attention. Thurant says the department is currently tossing around some new ideas on how they can do this a little bit better and different. The one that keeps coming up is just putting emojis over their faces. So you guys have any suggestions for Lieutenant Thurant? You can reach him at the Murrieta Police Department in Southern California.
It's crazy. They should just, you know, stick with innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
Show their faces.
I do like the crawfish idea for folks here.
Interesting.
Legos.
Well, we talked about Kim Mulkey, and Mike told you about the article that was coming out on her, the quote-unquote hit piece, and it ended up being much ado about nothing. At least that's what we think. So there's two sides to that coin, and that is, was it much worse and they just basically got backed down by Kim Mulkey? Or was it the whole time just quote unquote much ado about nothing? Ended up the article came out, and I'm just going to sum it up for you. Essentially, the whole discussion of it was, trying to figure out if Kim Mulkey was homophobic. Now, there's matter of fact, not only is there no evidence of this, they've had players come out and say she's absolutely not homophobic. Yeah. In women's basketball,
there's no way you can be a successful coach in women's basketball and be homophobic. Exactly. It's just no way.
I wouldn't think. There's no, it was a bizarre piece that I was anxious to read it. I'm sure like many other people. And it was bizarre because there was no evidence to back it up that I could find in that article. Yeah. It wasn't like they had a bunch of players come out and say this and they're reporting on that. This was almost an opinion piece that this guy was, hey, I'm observing this from afar and this is what I'm seeing. But the players that did discuss this, that were former players of her, totally went the other direction. Yeah. They said, this woman's not homophobic.
Right.
And Mulkey has never said anything to allude to that. I personally, only one person knows how they feel, but I've never heard her come out and say anything negative on that front. Yeah. So I'm not really sure what the whole point of that article was, but I found it interesting that also the I believe it was a newspaper out of California, but one of the
LA papers, Times.
Yeah, the LA Times came out and called the LSU
villains,
girls, something like the dirty debutantes, and they had to retract that and issue an apology.
Yeah, they left part of it in there, like the villains or some shit.
Yeah.
Stupid. I think the whole point of this is this person thought they had something, then they saw all the people that we're going to get to read it regardless, and never speculate on it because Mulkey's so popular. And it came out, like you said, it's just load of shit. So.
Well, and look, my opinion, my guess is people wanted her to be more boisterous, more involved in everything going on with Brittany Griner's arrest in Russia when that happened. And, she wasn't. Brittany Griner broke the law. Right.
And she was.
She may have very different opinions about
Mulkey wasn't her coach when she got arrested.
That's true as well. And Mulkey may have very different opinions about smoking pot. I don't know. But yeah. But she was supportive of her. She just wasn't
right
over the top supportive, you know, in the news every day talking about, you know, needing to trade the number one arms dealer on the planet right. For her in a straight up swap. But I think that was sort of the genesis of it. And and the connection got made that, well, maybe she's not supporting Brittany as aggressively as we'd like her to because she has a problem with gay women, which you don't win three national championships having a problem with gay women. They would leave you very quickly.
Bunch of bullshit.
I agree 100%. And I think it just shows you that mainstream media sometimes tries to stir up just to stir up.
Yep.
And I think they
started it up. They succeeded.
And I think Kim is listening to Real Life, Real Crime, to The Daily Show, she came out in a little bit more subdued outfit, the green yesterday. So Coach, if you are looking for some more fashion tips, you can just reach out to me directly and we can have a discussion and start looking at next year's outfits. And
she needs that.
Put you on speed dial.
But I like the green. The green works. Although you didn't win the game, so you're probably not going to wear the green again, but...
Sadly, but what a game that was.
It was it had all of the makings of something that was gonna come down to the wire. It looked like one of those games that was gonna come to the wire, overtime, something like
tied
that
at the half.
And then that third quarter
smoked
Caitlin Clark was just shooting 80-foot freaking jump shot. Those things should be worth 4 points.
I agree.
They couldn't miss and LSU couldn't sink I mean, they went at one point 14 shots in a row and couldn't sink.
Throwing it out of bounds and everything else. But
that's why they play them.
That's it.
It is. So, and LSU beat them in the most important game, I guess, last year's championship game. So, let's go to the nation's capital, where Reggie Brown, a Northwest D.C. resident, was 64 years old when he was brutally beaten to death by three girls, age 12, and two of them age 13.
Jeez.
This happened back in October. Horrific video was released showing the physically handicapped man. So on top of being 64, he was handicapped, being kicked and stomped on by these kids. Detective Harry Singleton testified on Friday that a man in a blue coat was the first to harass Brown, and that man threw the 64-year-old to the ground. An autopsy determined that Reggie Brown had died from blunt force trauma, and the case was ruled a homicide. My uncle really didn't deserve this, a niece of Brown said in a statement. He was known in this community for years, so for this to happen where he lived for 64 years is insane. They have to be held accountable. Detective Singleton found no connection between Brown and the three girls. And obviously the three girls are not being identified because of their ages. In a shocking twist of events, the 12-year-old, the youngest of those girls, was shot in her apartment on Friday at around 4 a.m. Her Peabody Street apartment is only about a half mile from the scene of the brutal beating. The gunshot hit the girl in the leg, and she was taken to the hospital with non-threatening injuries. Police have not said whether the gunfire came from inside or outside the apartment, but video of the scene shows a shattered pane of a first-floor window. A neighbor said that they heard a loud bang and then saw two youngsters jump from a broken window and run down an alley. Police do not believe the shooting is related to the Reggie Brown murder. In other words, the area is such a disaster with so much crime that a 12-year-old could be involved in both that murder and get shot at months later. It took a full 5 months after the brutal beating of the 64-year-old Brown, who was disabled, before the three girls were finally arrested. All three have been charged with second-degree murder. All three of the girls involved are residents of Northwest D.C., but it remains unclear how and if they knew Brown or how the detectives built their case against the teens, or the two teens and the 12-year-old. 12 and two 13.
Don't have juvenile detention centers in D.C.? Fuck.
I would think they have several.
Got a whole bunch of kids right here in this parish and the surrounding parishes that are locked up for murder and attempted murder at Florida Parish Juvenile Detention Center.
Starting early.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Seems like they get younger and younger.
I saw some stats that the government released yesterday where the truancy rates pre-COVID were 15% across the country, and right now 26%.
Yep, only going to go up.
So they grew by 75-80% after we displayed to everyone that school wasn't that important and we'll just shut them down for 2 years. And now a bunch of families have decided, well, school must not be that important and I'll let my kid roam the streets. And, you know, 2 years later, you have 12 and 13-year-old girls.
Crazy.
Girls beating a man to death.
Crazy.
Well, we're going to go to Florida.
Florida.
Where nothing like this ever happens.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but I'll tell you something crazy that did happen. A confounding scene. How do you like that? How do you like that adjective? Confounding.
Confounding.
A confounding scene unfolded at a Florida gas station when three people in a pickup truck saw a stranger hop in and start throwing cash at them. Huh. Now, this never happens to me at the local gas station, but
it does at the landing strip.
Yeah. The man had a reason, though. His intent was to buy their silence. He was trying to elude state troopers. The Florida Highway Patrol talked about this in a news conference on April 1st. As the troopers began to search, they were approached by a witness who told them an unknown subject was inside his pickup truck where his two young cousins were sitting. The suspect entered the occupied pickup and began to throw money at the occupants, telling them not to say anything as he's tossing them money. Troopers investigated and found 24-year-old Cape Coral man who is accused of crashing a BMW at the gas station during a high-speed pursuit. It was at a 7-Eleven in Fort Myers, which is about 125-mile drive from Tampa. The vehicle, a black BMW X6 with California license plates.
Sweet ride.
Could it have been Mike?
It might have been.
Did you have a
black BMW? Never had it.
You get your car registered in Louisiana?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to by law, Woody.
Yeah. Well, now everybody makes that.
Well, this BMW is known to law enforcement for reckless driving and fleeing to elude officers and troopers when they attempt to pull it over. A pursuit was initiated. However, the initial trooper had lost sight of the suspect. Minutes later, another trooper observed the BMW strike another vehicle and continue to flee while losing a tire. The BMW eventually pulled into a 7-Eleven where it struck a white Ford F-250. The driver climbed out of the BMW, forced his way into the occupied pickup truck without consent of the owner, and just starts tossing cash at them. Now, we're not talking 20, 30 bucks, Woody Overton.
What's he throwing, hundreds?
$10,000 cash.
Wow.
Yeah. I think I would have been like, bro, get down. Get down. Grab a blanket, put it over it. $10,000 was found on the floorboard. Additionally, a large white garbage bag full of marijuana weighing over 4 pounds, 100 oxycodone pills, and a Glock firearm were found in the truck. So there you go. You never know what'll happen when you're going to fill up that tank.
And they jump in.
Nobody ever throws $10,000 at me.
Shit, that's $10,000 and 4 pounds of weed. That's another 12 to 15.
And then 100 oxycodone.
100 oxys. That's another couple grand. And a pistol.
That's
none of that crap could have happened in Polk County. I'll just tell you that.
Shit, great
judge. I don't know what county that was.
That is a crazy, another crazy one.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I saw they did in Florida last week? They signed a new squatting law.
Well, I saw that too. I didn't read it though.
So
they tired of all these fucking stories were doing about squatters.
Yeah.
You're in Florida. You're not gonna have any squatters anymore. Yeah. That was.
They had a lot of stories in the last year of that.
Well, it's become an art form. It's easy enough to replicate everywhere. It spreads online. Here's how you do it. Right. And here's, you know, how you spot a home that's likely empty or empty. You know,
I mean, and I would have thought they've always had a law against that. I wouldn't have thought that was ever.
Well, it sort of just got commingled with renters laws. And it's very blurry because the concept of somebody just coming and taking over your home
Yeah.
And nobody thought they necessarily needed to create laws around that. It's right. your home.
Yeah.
But a lot of property rights laws are you know, kind of being challenged these days. And thank you, Governor DeSantis, for that one. Let's talk about a guy with a chainsaw wearing a scream mask.
Sounds like
ring, ring. And that can only happen in the state of Pennsylvania. A chillingly gruesome scene unfolded in the town of Layton, Pennsylvania, where a man reportedly killed his neighbor using a chainsaw, all the while wearing the mask from the movie Scream. According to Pennsylvania State Police, Edward Whitehead Jr., age 59, was declared deceased at his home Monday afternoon, bearing horrifying wounds on his head and arm, along with defensive injuries on his hands. The suspect was wearing an all-black outfit consisting of a mask from the Scream character, said State Trooper Anthony Petrosky. He continued, the victim had been inflicted with rapid strikes from a knife and a battery-powered chainsaw. I didn't realize they made, I know they got the leaf blowers and everything else now, but now you got the battery chainsaw.
More of a,
like a hand, more simple more handheld one.
Bush trimmer.
Yeah, you ain't gonna cut no log
with
that.
Tree down,
it'll run out about halfway, but they do make them, sure.
Yeah.
Local authorities soon identified Zach Moyer, age 30, who is Whitehead's next door neighbor, as the prime suspect. Surveillance footage captured Moyer leaving the victim's home shortly after the incident occurred. Moyer started to communicate with police using a notebook, making outrageous claims about Whitehead's involvement in violent crimes, including a statement, quote, Ed murdered women and kids. Eddie Jr. murdered women and kids last summer. Police ruled out taking the extreme allegations into their mainstream investigation. Eventually, Moyer surrendered to the authorities and was not wearing the Scream outfit at the time of the arrest. Reports revealed that Moyer's sister had alerted police a week prior that Moyer had been discussing killing his neighbor. Well, that was nice. I don't know why they didn't get to him in advance of that. Post-crime, Moyer reportedly watched a movie at home while waiting for the police to arrive. So he was just cashing out next door after he had battery-powered chainsawed the guy. Moyer also allegedly concealed the chainsaw and knife used in the attack. Authorities found these along with the costume, the Scream costume. His mugshot revealed a red wound beneath his eye, which Moyer claimed was inflicted by Whitehead. Moyer was charged with homicide and is being held without bail in Carbon County Jail. The day following Moyer's arrest, his father, Francis Moyer, was arrested on charges of harassment after allegations of causing distress to the Whitehead family. So his son gets put in jail for attacking the guy with a chainsaw, and the next day he's right back at it. I mean, this is Hatfields and McCoys type of stuff going on there in Pennsylvania.
I got a question for you. You know where the movie Scream originated from, or what killer it was actually about? And they've come out and said it.
Yeah. David Duchovny.
Nope. He's from Louisiana, actually.
Is he?
Emeril Lagasse.
The Danny Rollins. It's from Shreveport.
Oh, really?
I'll tell you why, and I'm not going to go into details yet, but one of his family members, and now this person is so innocent, right, and was, I can't give it away. Danny Rollins, all the Scream movies and all the ones they've done since, but it originated from Danny Rollins, was from Louisiana. Went to Florida and killed all those co-eds. And he was actually executed. And this person spoke to him on from the day he was executed, right before he was executed, and has drawings and everything else. And I'm going to do something with her in the future, because there's another side to this story that needs to be told.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good. Did not know that.
Is there any chance that he might be innocent?
No. Fuck no. He's guilty as fuck. Okay. Where are you going with that? They executed him a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's just
interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mile high.
It is a mile high for it's a home day mile high. Those are always better, I find. Well, we're going to tell you about a Florida man who you know, his flirting skills were on point, but the problem was they were a little too on point, and it got him in some trouble at the airport. Miami native Alan Borski, 70, told police he was trying to be funny when he made a remark at the Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport on Friday. Borski was sitting at gate 11 in Terminal 4 when two witnesses overheard him tell another passenger something like, "If the bomb in my bag goes off prematurely, I apologize to your family in advance."
Yes, he did.
So the ladies that overheard that, they couldn't believe what they were hearing, and they lean over to him and they say, "Did you just say you had a bomb in your bag?" And then Borski responds with, and this was the best, he says, "It's nothing compared to the rocket I have in my pants right now." Yes. "And it's full of jet fuel. But no worries, lady."
Alan Borski, age 70. Nice. I mean, what a rap. Come on. So he's dating them now?
Well, I wasn't done with his response.
Oh, he had more than that?
He said, it's nothing compared to the rocket I have in my pants right now, and it's full of jet fuel. But no worries, ladies. It never goes off prematurely."
Oh, my goodness.
Now, the two witnesses at this point become a little alarmed with Mr. Borski, and they report these comments to airport police, and he gets arrested for making a bomb threat. They didn't say anything about the rocket. But when questioned, they asked him why he said all this. He said they thought it was quirky. And he said by making the joke, he was hoping it would lead to a phone number. Borski, he said it worked for him in his 20s.
Yeah, right. 40-something years earlier.
So Alan Borski at 70. Now, my question is, you know, is this just an innocent guy just really trying to flirt? Did he really deserve to be arrested?
No.
You can't say bomb in the airport since 9/11, period.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Go ahead and try it and let me know how it works for you.
Next time you're sitting there waiting
in the gate, Mike said, "I want to say I got a bomb in my bag."
Context does matter.
What he told me to do it.
Sweet old man. With a good one-liner. How old were the women?
It didn't say how old they were.
I mean, you know, come on. Loosen up.
Yeah. Well, that is your Mile High Crime for Wednesday. Yeah. Alan Borski.
Sorry, Mr. Borski.
We're on your side, Alan. Uh-huh. We're on your side for sure. Yeah. And this is a hump day, Mile High.
Yes, it is.
I mean,
hump day kinky crimes, y'all. And the world is such a special place. I'm going to tell you about a man who was caught half naked and thrusting his hips towards a traffic cone.
What?
Trevor Smith was discovered by two shock workers, right, at a New York subway. The 48-year-old, who was drunk and on drugs, sat on the floor of the subway station, pulled down his pants and underwear, with an upturned cone on his lap.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
A cone.
And when police officers arrived, they discovered Smith on top of the cone with his pants still down. Smith had white powder on his face, and a bag of drugs was also found on the floor.
Imagine that. Right?
Workers also on the subway platform confirmed that they saw Smith sitting on the floor with the cone on his lap. One worker stated, "Hey, I believe he was trying to have sex with the cone." "I was in complete shock. I have not seen anything like that in all my time working for the subway. He was in a location where anyone could have walked in and seen him and should have been ashamed of himself."
Hey, should have.
Right? One worker contacted police while the other tried to stop people from seeing what was happening. After realizing police had arrived and were watching him, Smith pulled up his pants. Mm. Yep. Officers approached him and detected the remnants of white powder around his face. He told police he had spent the hours leading up to the incident drinking heavily. He said friends thought that he was getting down, so they gave him some white powder, which Smith believed to be cocaine to perk him up.
I would probably say it was cocaine and traffic cone.
Pumping a traffic cone.
Yeah.
It was funny. He starts out with it on his lap. By the time the cops get there, he's on top of it. He switched positions, right?
Make all types.
Yeah, it does. Here's your kinky
no doubt he's one of those 124 that was arrested more than five times last year.
No doubt. Wow. There's your kinky crimes for Wednesday.
Wow. Well, it is with great sadness and regret that I deliver today's special undergrad dumb criminals.
Okay.
This will be my final mention on this show ever of my once proud alma mater.
Vandy.
Pride once filled the West End of Nashville as the university stood tall, reflecting the work ethic of its namesake, the Commodore, Cornelius Vanderbilt. Our pride swelled even as we lost 12 football games a year by an average of 53 points each. Yeah. It didn't matter because we were smarter than those dumbasses of Tennessee. We threw frat parties, damn it. They were great frat parties. They had wholesome American themes like Pimpin' Hornite and Phnom Penh Pike. We treated our pledges like shit. And we always invited a fine cultured Southern belle out on date night. The KAs hung a Confederate flag and hosted Old South Weekend, an homage to the antebellum South. And nobody gave a shit. We even went to some classes. This was the greatness that was once Vandy. Mm. Protests on campus. I think there was once one Vanderbilt Concerts didn't retain enough tickets for an Elvis Costello show. That's the only protest I can remember. But
Elvis Costello.
Fast forward 40 years to last week on Vanderbilt's campus. When pro-Palestinian protesters at Vanderbilt called 911 over concerns for a protester's medical well-being during a campus sit-in in support of the boycott, divestment, and sanctions, otherwise known as the BDS movement. The BDS movement works to end international support for Israel's oppression of Palestinians and pressure Israel to comply with international law. It's gained traction since the Hamas terrorist attack on October 7th. But on Wednesday, the Vanderbilt Hustler, which is the school newspaper, can't believe in the 40 years since I left, they haven't come up with a better name for that thing, reported that many students were arrested following a sit-in at Kirkland Hall, which is the big clock tower building where the chancellor's office is located. And according to the Vanderbilt Hustler, the sit-in was sparked by students who were seeking the ability to vote on a Vanderbilt student government amendment. This is happening. I just heard this morning. It happened at Harvard over the weekend. It's happening at a lot of these highbrow schools where students now want the university to divest itself from any investments they have connected to Israel. And they want them to cease to take donations from any entity that has any connection to Israel. So that's going on across the U.S. While it was going on at Vanderbilt, the chancellor allowed the students for a predetermined amount of time to come into Kirkland Hall to have their sit-in. The campus police were there attending and let everyone know that if they didn't leave at a certain time, there would be arrests and that anyone who did leave would not be welcome back. Well, a female protester had a little problem with her menstrual cycle.
God.
And she and her friend decided that they didn't want her to leave because if she left, she wouldn't have been allowed back. And so they called 911. They called 911 to say that, quote, there is currently a female student who's being denied the right to change her tampon that has been in for multiple hours, which leads to an increased risk of toxic shock syndrome. The protester goes on to say that the student has been threatened with arrest by campus police if she attempts to stand up and use a bathroom to change her tampon. There's videos, believe it or not, of this crap where other protesters can be seen speaking to the Vandy police about their friend who needs the change of tampon. There's a post that says some of the students seem to be panicking. They called 911 because they're worried one of them could go into toxic shock. I did a little research and no. And there's like cases, but it's an extremely long period of time that the women who got it had left a tampon. It's not a couple of hours. So anyway, a few hours later, the thing was calmed down and the protesters went home and Kirkland Hall was taken back over by the chancellor. But before all that happened, the university was embarrassed as hell all across social media. And I and many others will never be mentioning the name again on this show. 911 for a tampon.
Real.
Oh, God. Alrighty.
This generation.
No words.
This generation.
No words. It's all crazy.
But you do have final thoughts.
I do have final thoughts. I'm going to tell y'all we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Hope you had a great Easter, and please continue to like and share and all that good podcaster stuff.
Yeah, and it's hump day. Go out and get yourself humped today.
Yeah.
There you go.
That'd be a good deal.
Be a great deal. Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Everton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Aglets.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.